Let's Hear for the Girls is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise.
Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard.
You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios and Speak Boise at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios,
speak and be heard.
Let's Hear for the Girls is brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communication experts and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprint specializes in making your organization more visible with custom brand apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide format printing for signs, as well as banners and vehicle graphics. You want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com Boise or call 208 Imprint. That's 208-467-7468. Yeah.
What's up?
Hi, Erin.
Hello.
Feels like I haven't talked to you in forever, although we went to lunch yesterday.
Yeah. And you ran in here.
I ran. Let me tell you something.
Tell me.
The inventor of the bike bar can kiss my ass.
Were you
stopped? I was stuck behind a bridal party bike bar. And I'm like, it's such an Idaho Pacific Northwest thing.
Very.
Pacific Northwest thing.
Barcelona.
Barcelona. Pacific Northwest
thing.
Yeah,
it is.
To like have like a bar on a bike.
Yeah.
And, like the problem is, it's like there's only three girls pedaling and they're all probably athletic little, you know what I mean? I do fucking spin. What's that? Soul Cycle.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's like all the normal girls who are just like, woo, and taking shots in the back. And
are
just
contributing
like,
nothing.
Nothing. And so I'm sitting behind them like stressing, shitting myself because I'm like, I'm late. I've been so good lately. Sorry, that was my phone.
That's a tough one. I'll make a promise to you right now, right here, right now.
Listen, baby, if you do a bike bar.
I'm not.
Okay, my girl.
For my bachelorette party, which you're coming to.
Yeah.
We will not be doing that.
I just request. Is it going to be here in state or are we going down?
No, we're going elsewhere where things can get a little bit more wild.
Wild.
I want a thunder down under.
Oh, my God.
I want a lot.
Are you
like
talking Vegas?
No, I'm not really, you know, I'm not really a Vegas kind of gal, but you know what? After the pandemic,
who knows what kind of person you are?
I don't know who I am. Maybe we will.
Corona.
Maybe we will.
How has your week been? I know lots.
Well, you already know, but not super great. On a personal level, fine.
Yes.
But work-wise, no. It was great to have lunch with you yesterday.
That was a
very
good
tasty
lunch.
I had the special. It was awesome. Yes. As far as what I'm watching, I haven't had a ton of time. We continued our, I will say, on, I believe, Saturday. Last Saturday, it was Seth and I's original wedding date. Okay.
Oh,
we were supposed to get married on May 15th, but then, you know.
The baby came.
Then I had a child. No. And then the pandemic happened.
I didn't even know I was pregnant.
I didn't even know. I hate that show.
I love
it. It's terrifying.
That's my dream, to have a baby in the toilet.
Yeah. And then all the work's done for you.
Yeah, you're like, what the? Especially you. You love to poop, so.
I do. So as do you.
We both love to poop, so it's like kind of the best of both worlds.
Here's the thing. Anybody that says they don't love it is a fucking liar.
Yeah, pooping is the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah.
Especially if you take care, like if you have a good bathroom, you have a bidet, your bathroom situation is like a, you know what I mean, your throne.
Yeah.
Everyone loves to poop.
Absolutely. And Colin and I mean, we're very open about it at work, like.
Hey, gotta go.
Bye.
Deuces.
And we're
literally.
Like, we know.
We know.
But Saturday we had a great day. We did some shopping for our apartment for stuff we needed. We went for like a 4-mile walk in the morning on the Greenbelt.
Oh my God.
We went to the Bounds Crossing area and went to the tavern, which we enjoy very much.
Yeah.
And sat outside. Got a little tipsy at the tavern.
That's so cute.
It was so cute. And then we went home and watched back to back, Infinity War and Endgame.
God, which 4 hours, right?
Five. The
That's
last
right.
one is 3 hours.
That's right.
Loved it.
So good.
Loved it.
So good.
When everyone's together, I get kind of emotional.
Oh yeah, goosebumps.
Yeah, and it's like,
like the last scene where like, yes, all the portals open and you're like, oh,
and you're like, oh my gosh.
Imagine watching that in theaters. It was wild.
Missed out.
Yeah.
And what wild. I loved most was like that just like gaggle of women, like, oh, yeah, superheroes. Where they were like,
dude, girls doing it for themselves.
And it was
like,
awesome.
Whooping ass. Yeah,
yeah.
It was good.
So Gwyneth Paltrow in Pepper as Pepper
She's
Potts.
So annoying.
I just don't like her, period. But who is, so she looks like a lady Iron Man.
Yes, she has breasticles.
Yeah, is that like a real thing in the comics?
I can't remember Pepper Potts as an actual character in the comics. I'm assuming she is. I'm assuming, but who knows? I do know after, in the comics, Tony Stark's, I mean, every superhero dies like 18 billion times. But there,
sure,
is a period where Tony Stark hands the mantle off. I don't think he dies, but he hands the mantle off to Riri Williams, who is a African-American black super genius.
Oh.
And so he kind of gives her like the mantle and she becomes an Iron Heart.
Oh.
I'm such a nerd.
But he does die.
Does die. Spoiler alert. He does die.
He
in
does
the movie.
Die. So that's really what we did. We watched a ton of Avengers. I do have something to share with you about Gwyneth Paltrow and her company Goop.
Oh, God, I love it.
No, okay. Well, they're being sued.
For what?
So they have these candles.
And smell like her vagina.
Yes. This candle smells like my vagina. That's the.
I love that.
Okay. Gross. That is like the height of vanity.
That's the epitome of like privilege right there.
Yeah.
Like you can make money off of having a candle that smells like your body.
Except.
And not like your, you know what I mean? Ooh, my clavicle.
My essence.
No, like your vagina.
Your vagina.
I love
so it. There's a warning on the candle that says burning time should not exceed 2 hours at a time.
What?
Okay.
Pussy is toxic.
So super toxic. So two instances in which these people let the candle burn, it not for like 10 hours, but for like 3 hours. It blew up.
Yes!
Literally blew up.
Yes.
Gwyneth Paltrow's pussy is trying to burn homes
Weapons
down.
Weapons of mass destruction.
And so the company's like, these are kind of BS claims.
I feel that.
I don't. A candle burning, like blowing up your home.
I love it. What's in that candle? Nipon?
It's probably not pH balanced.
No.
Maybe that's what it is.
She needs some summer eve. No, I'm just joking.
That's terrible. God, never use summer eve.
Never use summer's eve. The body is a natural temple that cleans itself. Don't listen to that shit. I love it. I mean,
and therefore, don't listen to Gwyneth Paltrow.
No, don't listen to Gwyneth Paltrow. But at the same time, like, if you... I'm not even going to say dumb enough, because like if you
it's not about being dumb.
No, but if you look at this woman and you think like, oh, hey, like I should stick a rock up my vagina and it's going to give me some magical powers, more power to you. I love it. That's American consumerism at its finest.
Oh, sure it is. I hate it for that same reason.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. It's not about being smart or dumb. It's just like impressionable.
Yeah.
And willing to stick a jade egg in your cooch.
I love it. And you know me, I know.
I know.
I'm not. I like to say I'm a dumbass. I think I'm stupid. Most people are like, no, you're not. I think I am. I am that type of like. I know.
You're over here like, I love it.
I love it. Like I have. I will get on TikTok and I'll see people who are like drink chlorophyll water, and I'm like,
we had this talk.
I want to try it. I'm the type who's like, I want to try it.
I would never.
I am the fast fad diet. I am like the.
Oh my gosh.
I have done keto. I've done it all.
You're
now
the,
veganism has been the one where it's like consistent.
Yes.
And I will cheat every once in a while. I have dairy and sometimes eggs, but I'm a very committed vegan.
And also though, but that's not a fad diet.
I mean, veganism can be. But it's pretty well documented.
Right. It's been around for a while. So I just thought I'd share with you.
I love it.
That the vagina candles are just bursting.
Gwyneth Paltrow's. She has a really terrible but great documentary. I've watched the whole thing.
Is it about her?
It's about her company Goop. And they like go and investigate like a new non-traditional, non-Western traditional like medicine and practices. And it's insane. It's insane the things that... She does. And it's just, yeah, it's crazy. And I sat there watching. I'm like, man, I wish this was my life.
But you wouldn't do that to people.
I wouldn't do that to people, but I'm also like.
I think you want an evil twin that would do
that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you know deep down you're too good for that.
No.
Yes, you are.
I don't know. What are
you watching?
Okay. Getting back to how basic I am.
Since you asked.
this is like we're going to goop, and now when I tell you this, you're going to be like, God damn it, you are basic.
What?
It's I don't know if it's worse than Vampire Diaries.
Is it Emily in Paris?
Oh, no, but I'm so tempted to start watching that.
Yeah.
Very, because it's that bad.
Yeah, yeah.
I have been binge watching. And when I mean binge, like
24/7.
Yeah. Like, I've been rewatching Real Housewives of Atlanta back to back to back to back. I love the show so much.
Oh, I don't judge you at all for that.
Okay. I think a lot of people would, but I thank you for not.
Here's why.
I thank you, madam.
I thank you. Here's why. Reality television is just that. Everyone knows what it is. Yeah. You know what you're getting into by watching it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I love a nice escape. I really do. I love watching like Catfish and like those types of,
okay.
But I also love like the Vanderpump Rules Chris, like Brinkley Knows Best. Isn't that what it is?
Brinkley?
Chris Brinkley, Todd Brinkley.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about.
You know, those kinds of things. I love watching
Chrissy,
it.
Christy or something like
something
that.
Something like that. Yeah. Shit, why can't I remember? Anyway, they're in the South. But anyway, I love watching shows like that. Oh yeah, it's a nice escape from reality.
It's really good.
No judgment.
I love the women on the show.
Who is one that I would know from Real Housewives of Atlanta?
Atlanta has, I mean, the star, the original Peach is NeNe Leakes.
I love NeNe Leakes.
And like I watch it and like you see a fucking star. Like the moment she steps on, you're like, this is what television was made for.
Yeah, entertainment.
Entertainment. And she is like constant entertainment. Just hilarious. And it's funny because this is like started out in like 2009, maybe 2008.
Yeah.
And like the show had already started. I think they had like New Jersey and Orange County already kind of in the works.
Yeah.
But like Atlanta, they're the women, the way that they fight, the way that they communicate, it's like you see something different. Like Andy knew what the fuck he was doing when he cast these women. Even the first cast wasn't the strongest one. I think by season three, like
You're losing me.
Season three is like, because like the thing is like when you start a reality TV show, your first one isn't always your best one. But it's depending on how good the series is, it's like it sets the tone, right?
So when you say Andy, you're talking about Andy Cohen.
Andy Cohen, who is like the executive producer, and he's like the godfather of I don't know how to feel about him.
He's a bitch.
He's a bitchy man. He's a bitchy
That's
gay.
That's all I have to say. He's a bitchy, bitchy gay.
But damn it, he came up with a concept.
Oh, I don't, like, a lot of people like that do because they have no morals. Like, he has no morals. Yeah,
Shonda Rhimes, Andy Cohen, like
just
Paris, Perez Hilton. Like,
you have to have
a lack of morality in order to create something so toxic.
So shallow.
So, like, your first season isn't always the best one. And then, like, the next couple seasons, like, you're messing with the formula to figure out, like, how can we get this magic? And so by season three is when you have your players.
Mm.
And, like, the season just, like, everyone gets in the groove. The older ones know the rhythm. You bring in some new girls to create a little bit more tension. And by season three, four, it's, like, magic. And for Housewives of Atlanta, like, season three, three and four, like, the shit is popping.
Ooh.
It's so good. I mean, I would implore you to please.
Implore you.
It's on Hulu. I have your Hulu account.
Yeah, you do.
Whoever Fred is. Thanks, Fred.
Oh, that's Seth.
Oh, thanks, Seth.
I have no idea why he picked that name.
Thanks, Seth. I love it. Seth is like, who the fuck is watching Housewives of Atlanta? It's my gay ass Seth. Sorry, Sethers.
It's so funny. We'll hop on there from time to time and be like, who the fuck is watching this stuff? And it's like, his mom is watching this thing. Yeah. My dad is watching this thing.
All the gay stuff is me, Seth.
Yeah. Or my brother.
Or, yeah. Or
well, he has his own account.
Yeah,
but
well, it's
goodness
me,
sakes.
Yeah, so I've been binge watching that.
Good for you.
I'm loving that.
Honestly, with how much stress you've been under.
Good Lord.
I love that kind of escape. That's what it's for.
Yeah.
That's.
And then I don't want to watch anything I have to think about. I have to actually watch. I just want something where I know what's going to happen. And I could just sit there and I laugh my ass off. And just like, NeNe Leakes is so fucking quotable.
Just
I don't so. Think I think I've used every meme with
her. She has the fucking best memes.
Like I think I've used everyone I
oh
can.
Oh my gosh! And it's just the expressions of every, her face. It's just like it's just like what are you doing?
That eye roll meme.
Oh my god!
She's like queen. Half of them.
My favorite line of hers is like it's a reunion, and it was a really it was a rough reunion, and it's when Kenya Moore comes on, who is like the one of the best villains of Housewives history.
Oh, wow.
And she calls NeNe Leakes. She says, like, NeNe was so nasty and so rude. And, like, brilliant. This is so fucking brilliant. NeNe Leakes just, like, looks at the camera and is like, so nasty and so rude. And just repeats it over and over again. And everybody in the room is just kind of like, oh, what the fuck? And she's like, so nasty and so rude. And it's just this tagline. You have to watch. I'll just
oh
it to
my
you.
God.
And it's just like, she's like winking like she's in a commercial. And it's,
I love it.
Everybody in the room is just like, oh, what the fuck?
What do I do?
And it's so
what
funny. So now I just use that when someone's like, you're being asshole. I'm like, so nasty and so rude.
So rude.
Love it. Anyway.
Oh my God.
So last episode, we kind of got at a sticking point of like, what should we watch next?
Yeah, because I feel like we've been doing some comedies.
We've been very comedy heavy.
Yeah.
Very like lighthearted, even though, I mean, Chicago's pretty lighthearted.
No, it's a musical.
Yeah,
sure.
It's a musical. And yeah. So I wanted to switch it up to something a little strange. Now, this movie is purely in my roundhouse. Like, this is the type of movie.
Very much.
I like to watch. I enjoy. It's my favorite. Whenever I suggest this movie or any movies that are my favorite, people look at me like, what's going on in your head? Because it's the very opposite of, I think, who I am.
Yeah,
as, like,
I wouldn't.
My external presence.
Yeah, I wouldn't get. Well, knowing you as well as I do now, it doesn't like surprise me. Not in a bad way. Like,
you sure?
Well, I mean, it's not my taste, but.
It's not
you
my
know,
taste.
But I don't think it's. I mean, yeah, it was fucking weird, and I didn't like it, but that's okay.
We are talking about 2018's, I'm going to screw up this name, I can never pronounce it right, so I want you to say it.
Suspiria.
Suspiria, okay, it's right. So 2008, Suspiria.
2018.
Suspiria. It's like a supernatural horror mm-hmm. film.
Yes.
Directed by Luca, I'm gonna butcher this.
Luca, Italian last name.
Italian names, period.
Say you Luca G.
Luca G. I'm gonna try it. Luca Guadagnino. Guadagnino.
That's, yeah.
Probably right. You should, me and Italian, listen, nurse, listen. Me and Italian names, foods, fucking up. Like, you should see me in Olive Garden. I'm like, can I get the chicken pesto with Laguana? Like, I am that American.
Oh, yay.
Who's like scared. Yeah, I'm just like, can I get the.
Is it just Italian?
Italian and German, I have a really hard time with.
Well, German is, I mean, there's so many.
Oh my God. I'm not going to dispronounce, I'm not going to disrespect, you know, German culture. It's just, I'm an American.
There's
and I
often,
know,
well, it's like sometimes words are so long.
Yeah.
That if you're doing it phonetically, you're like, I don't even know where to begin. And that's 2 years of college German talking. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You have, like, German background.
Yeah.
Yeah, this yeah. movie was really, yeah. This movie was released in 2018. Just to give you a kind of, like, brief basics, directors, like I said, Luca, we're going to say Luca G.
Luca G.
We know him from films like The Protagonist, I Am Love, A Big Splash, Call Me By Your Name, a film I despise for good reason.
And now the main character or main actor in that is
munch, 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 crunch, crunch, crunch.
Crunching on people.
Crunching on women. And then his newest movie that he's releasing is called Beckett.
Beckett?
Yes. With two T's. That's coming out sometime in this year, I believe.
Oh.
It's produced by Marco Morbido, Brad Fisher, and again, Luca G. Mm. And then the screenplay is by David Kanjanhachi, who wrote The Invasion, which has Nicole Kidman in
yes,
it.
Yes, that's a good
Daniel
one.
Daniel Craig, I believe.
Yeah.
Which is another kind of like sci-fi.
Well, it's like
thriller.
Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
It's a good one. Mm-hmm. I actually like that mm-hmm. one.
This movie was released on September 1st, 2018. Its budget. Okay, you know, I love this game.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you think the budget was?
I fucking hate this game. Is it a lot?
For the type of film it is, I feel like it is.
40.
You're off. It's 20 million.
Okay, well, it made 2 million.
7.7 million.
Worldwide.
Yeah.
In the US, it was like 2 million.
It was distributed on Amazon, so.
First, but then a wider release later.
Yeah, but you know.
I read the Wikipedia article.
But you know, like, those Amazon releases, like.
No,
you,
yeah. It kind of fucks with the. Yeah.
Did you look up at the box or the Rotten Tomato scores?
I did.
What did you think about it?
I couldn't agree more.
Critic score was 65, audience score was 65. Is that what you read?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. I think it's a little low, but you know, that's me.
But you like the movie.
I love the movie. So it has some really great actresses in it.
It does.
The two I think I really want to focus on are the two I'm going to name first. So that has Dakota Johnson, who we know her from The Social Network, 50 Shades of Bullshit, A Bigger Spoon. 50 Shades of Grey, but you come on, 50 Shades of
a bigger, yeah, a bigger splash, which she did with Luca G.
Yeah, Luca G. And the next actress we'll name, Bad Times at the El Royale. Yeah, I love that movie. Have
haven't
you
seen,
it?
Seen it yet.
We should do that movie.
Chris Hemsworth,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Cynthia Erivo, I believe, is also in it.
Oh, nice.
It's a good movie.
Wait, what is the first movie you said? The Social Network.
Yeah, I think that was Zach. Who's the guy who does Facebook? The CEO of Facebook.
Mark Zuckerberg?
Isn't that The Social Network?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she's in it.
I don't think she is.
Well, Wikipedia says she is, so it's the truth.
Interesting.
She might have played, like, I think it was one of her first roles. She might have been, like, a little side character.
Okay, because, like, Rooney Mara's in that for, like, 2 seconds as, like, his girlfriend at the very beginning. She's in it for, like.
She might have been that.
Yeah. Like that. Maybe she was. She, I don't know.
More recently, she was in The High Note with Tracy Ellis Ross. That movie was like came out right during the pandemic hit, so it went straight to like DVD.
Gotcha.
VHS. She was in The Peanut Butter Falcon, which was a critically acclaimed, has Shia LaBeouf. And I heard she did an amazing job. And then she was also in a movie recently that I really want to watch. It's called Our Friend. And it has a couple different actors in it. And it's pretty much about a woman who I believe is like fighting cancer and dying, and her husband and his best friend kind of support her and to make her dreams come true.
Oh,
it's really good. And I'm normally not into those kind of films, but
yeah,
I kind of we'll talk about it.
And who are Dakota Johnson's parents? Two famous people.
Rocky Johnson from Humping Hannah.
It's Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Dwayne the Rock. What?
No. Oh. It's Don Johnson. Like Miami Vice Don Johnson.
Oh, okay. Don't know what that
Tin
is.
Cup John John Johnson.
You're speaking
Don Johnson.
Italian to me. Right
And then Melanie Griffith. It's her mama.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's her mama.
Well, thank you for that little tidbit.
You're welcome.
The next actress.
They were married twice, just FYI.
Keep on keeping on. The next actress is my beloved, Tilda Swinton, who is playing multiple roles in this movie.
Three.
She plays Madame Blanc.
Blanc, which we see, like, she's the most, like, recognizable prominent, in that one, right?
And then Mother Helena Marcos. Mm-hmm. And then she also plays Dr. Joseph Klappener, but is credited by another actor, which is really weird.
Yeah.
So if you watch the credits, because I know you. Did you watch the credits?
No.
Oh, wow. I'm so surprised. I thought you would. But it's credited by another actor, but it's really her.
Which, like, the director, like, deny. Like, there was a lot of people are like, that's just her in prosthetics. And he's like, fake news. No, it's not.
But it really was her.
But it was. So I wonder why. You're not fooling anybody.
We know her from one of my favorite movies, Orlando Adaptation, Chronicles of Narnia, I Am Love. We can talk about Kevin, which we will be doing soon. Trainwreck, A Bigger Splash, which was also with Dakota Johnson.
You almost said Fanning.
Uh-huh.
Did you almost say Fanning?
Yeah. Dakota Fanning.
I would have done the same thing.
Directed by Luca G. She was in Doctor Strange. She played the ancient one, which Kevin Feige just recently came out and said that was a mistake.
That she played the...
Yeah, he said that was a mistake.
Whoa. So
quick
in
segue.
So quick segue. In Doctor Strange, Tilda Swinton plays the high sorceress, right? Or high
Sorcerer Supreme,
right? So you're she right. Like guides, you know.
She was this genderless kind of raceless.
just Bean. And she guides Doctor Strange like through his evolution to become
the Sorcerer Supreme.
And then she makes an appearance again in Endgame.
Yes. As kind of like
and she has that
alternate timeline because she dies in Doctor Strange.
Right. And then she talks with Bruce Banner on the rooftop.
Well, traditionally, or in the comic books, the Sorcerer Supreme, the original one, I can't remember the name of the character, is like this East Asian kind of character. Doesn't really say what region, but it's just clearly an Asian individual.
Mm-hmm.
And they, Tilda Swinton has a history of really doing these transformative roles. So that's not anything surprising, but it got a lot of blowback by not having an Asian actor play the Sorcerer Supreme, which is very entrenched. The movie's entrenched in like East Asian kind of Buddhism, Hinduism, kind of mystic arts kind of culture. And so Kevin Feige, who is like the head honcho of
produces everything,
Marvel, came out and said it was a complete mistake and they were trying to be edgy and it was a mistake to
I would say.
And when they originally did it, they were doubling down when they had her.
Oh, I'm certain.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, okay, wow.
And I love Tilda Swinton so much. She's so insanely talented.
Yeah.
That did bother me.
Yeah.
I don't like when it's clearly Asian culture, Asian, you know, garb, you know, everything like that. And then there's this like pale as a ghost white
woman.
She looks
so weird too.
And she's bald. And it's just like, you could have so easily cast.
Yeah.
A different person in that.
Yeah. It was bad.
You know, but anywho.
Anyway. Oh, and she's going to be in the new Pinocchio movie.
Stop.
They're doing I don't know who's directing it, but they're doing a live action Pinocchio, I'm guessing Disney. And she's playing like one of the fairies. So I'm like really interested. I'm really into that.
I love it.
I'm really into
that. I love it very much.
Other actresses, there was like Mia Goth, who was in A Cure for Wellness, another movie I love and I know you hate.
Mm-hmm.
She was in Emma, which I think we should do.
I would do Emma.
She plays Sarah Sims. And then Angela Winkler plays Miss Tanner. There's like a crazy amount of female actresses
in
this movie.
There's a million zillion.
And the reason for that is because this movie is about a coven of witches in, I can't remember, like Berlin, clearly.
Berlin.
Post-World War II, we're trying to in the 70s, 80s, most likely the 80s, right?
Yeah. 1978.
Yeah.
1977, 78. During, what is it called? Like the long autumn or the autumn something?
So we're entering the Cold War era, post-Cold War, like very.
Yeah. There's a big political backdrop.
Yes. Which.
We'll talk about that.
And so it's about this coven of witches kind of disguised as a ballet company.
Mm-hmm. Prestigious
ballet company.
Yeah.
And it follows Dakota Fanning's character.
Johnson.
God, I hate that you said that now. It follows Dakota Johnson's character, Susie, who's an American coming over.
I'm from Ohio.
Was
that a good impression?
Yes, it was very good. And she comes over to this prestigious German Berlin Dance Academy.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, you explain it. You always do a better job doing some
things. Do I? Okay, so she comes in. Susie comes. But at the very beginning of the movie, we see this young woman. A gripe I have about this film is that.
Oh, we're starting. Issues already.
Okay. Should I wait for issues? Okay. I'll wait for issues. So in the beginning, we see this young woman that we don't know who she is. And she's obviously in some sort of like psychotic state. She's like babbling. She's like switching between English and German. Like we don't really know what's going on. And she's talking to the therapist.
And just to clarify, this is played by Chloe.
Grace Moretz.
Yes.
Yes. And I recognized her voice.
Yes.
I
could see her eyes were the thing.
Yes.
That I was like,
but it's, you know, it's dark in there. Yeah. So we see that. But anyway, so when Susie comes, she's just kind of this bright eyed gal from Ohio. And she had the privilege of Madame Blanc sitting in on her audition, which like never happens.
Yes.
And so right away we're like, ooh, we think she's in good favor with Madame Blanc.
Yeah.
And then there's something that happens to Patricia. And we don't know what it is. We don't know where she went. Right. And so then it kind of turns, we do see at one point before Susie joins all the other dancers, We see all of the mothers kind of in this room together, and they're electing the new, like, I don't want to say Hausfrau, but like
Hausfrau.
I was going to say house mother, but like, I can't remember the term that they used.
It was pretty much like that head witch in charge.
The head honcho, right? Yeah. And at this time you're like, you don't really know. It's like a witchy witch thing. And so anyway, Susie is then introduced to everybody and everyone's very receptive and warm to her. And Madame Blanc like greets everyone by kissing them. So you're thinking, oh my gosh, she cares so much about these girls. How great, how great. And they're like, we need to replace the protagonist in this dance. And she asks a couple of the people and they were like, oh no. So first she asks Olga and yes. Olga's like, I'm down. Olga looks 65 years old, by the way. And so she starts and then she's like, you know, starts and stops and gets frustrated. And then she leaves and accuses them of being witches and accusing them of being part of Patricia's disappearance. Okay. And so then she storms off and then Madame Blanc is saying, who's going to be the protagonist? And mm-hmm. she asks a couple of the gals and they're like, no, no, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. And then Dakota Johnson is like, I'll do it. And so they're like, are you sure? You're so young. And you're so green, essentially. Like, we practiced this dance for like 10 months. So she does it. And then we see Olga get trapped in this the room, the audition room, essentially, yeah. that's just like covered in mirrors. She can't get out. Tilda Swinton then transfers her witchy powers to Susie. So whatever move Susie is making throughout the dance is like hurting Olga.
Yes.
And I know you're going to hate this, but that's when I stopped watching the movie.
You stopped watching the movie?
I could not. I couldn't get through it.
You didn't finish the movie.
I couldn't get through it. I read all of the articles. I read the whole... Honestly, it made my stomach turn. I could not finish
okay.
it.
Okay, so let's go get into it.
You
didn't finish watching the
gave
movie.
Okay, so I started it last night.
Yeah.
And then my internet crapped out. And I was like, okay, I'll just finish it tomorrow. honestly, she was like, don't do it. And then I watched a little bit past that.
Yeah.
Probably like almost an hour of the film. And I was like, I feel sick.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I'm not, and you know this, like, I'm not great with gore. Yeah. Like, I like a good mind fuck, but if there's, like, a lot of gore involved, like, that's why I never thought the Saw movies, like, people fucking love them, but, like, I couldn't get past that.
Okay, I agree. Yeah, I think, oh, my gosh, I was not prepared for this.
Surprise.
So, just to let people know, this movie is based off of a 1977 movie by the same name. By a famous Italian director. I should know this.
Something like Nicolodi or something.
Yeah. And so it's more of an interpretation of the film.
Yes.
The original film was a three-part that talked about what the film really is about. It's about this trying to find the next Supreme, trying to find the next mother. The original film was three films, and it was about three individual witches. And so there's three movies talking about these three individual, like, high-powered women who are witches. Mm-hmm. So this is about a certain witch. This new movie is, like, an hour longer than the original.
Yeah, it's 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Which...
it's a little long.
Get over yourself.
It's a little
with
long.
2.5 hours.
It's a little long for the lack of dialogue that this film has. There wasn't that much dialogue. It's more about style. This film was very much about, like, what is not said. It's about the lighting. It's about the dancing. Mm. It's about the costumes. It's really not mm-hmm. so much about mm-hmm. the dialogue. On that note, though, I'm just kind of perplexed because I thought it was I think it's a good movie. I think there's some really interesting themes that they're playing with.
Oh, I think it's interesting.
But you just were like, the moment you saw blood, you're like, and
well, it wasn't just blood. It's grotesque. That's the thing. Okay. Like, I can watch Inglourious Basterds and laugh because Nazis are getting shot in the face. But like, when it's grotesque like that, I get really uncomfortable. Another thing I wanted to mention about the difference between the original and the 2018 one is that the original had like blatant bright colors in the film.
Yes.
And then this one used almost no primary colors.
Yes. Very, a lot of reds.
A lot of reds, but there was, but it was very dark most of the time, yes. which I had a gripe with. Which we can get to.
I can't see anything.
I can't say anything.
Turn on the lights.
And, but yeah, that's when the maker said, you know, this is not a remake. This is an interpretation, as you said. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought, I was going to say, I'm going to ask you this.
Okay.
Let's start with the women.
Okay.
We're going to just skip straight into the
do meat it. Potatoes.
What did you think about Dakota Johnson?
I find her to be one of those actresses that, and I think 50 Grades of Shade, 50 Grades of Shade, it's the fourth movie in the installment. No, 50 Shades of Grey. I really think that kind of, it didn't do much for her career.
Really? I mean, not in a good way. Yeah.
And not in a good way. Yes, she was noticed, but in the sense of like, it's like when Robert Pattinson talks about how much he hated being in Twilight.
Yeah.
I feel like she and Jamie Dornan probably feel that way about Fifty Shades of Grey.
Jamie Dornan, though, he has a rougher than she does. I mean, like, her filmography is pretty deep.
Yeah.
I can't even remember what he's been in.
Well, and he also, I guess they don't get along.
No.
And so clearly. I think there was just a lot of things there.
She hates Ellen.
Oh, I saw the clip.
Yeah. She seems very, she does not play.
She doesn't play, but a lot of her roles have this innocence to them.
Yeah.
And this is a good example of that.
She plays solemn, sadness, broken, but it's really well.
She's like the Lana Del Rey of actresses.
Oh my gosh, that's such a good description.
Thank you. She's one of those, but it's also like, I know you find me desirable.
Yeah.
That's an underlying tone.
She's not sexy, she's sensual.
She's sensual. Oh, well done.
Yeah.
Yes.
I did not like the red wig, I will say that.
No.
Terrible.
Beep, boop. Like, just kind of like, but they, I mean, that was a stylized kind of choice, I imagine. I don't really think it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just thought she did such a good job at playing this, like, innocent girl. And then the end, you know what I mean, you kind of get the realization the concept is like they are trying to train this girl into becoming possessed by this.
And I do know how it ends. So.
Yes, the spirit.
Yes.
And then you find out like she knew all along what was happening pretty much.
Yeah, she's no
wallflower. She's no new,
mama didn't raise no dummy.
No.
Yeah.
She knew the game was afoot. And so she she pretty much kills the entire coven at the end of
the
movie. So that's why I'm like, you probably really shouldn't watch the end because it was intense.
Well, and then before that, isn't it that like Madame Marcos like disembowels like Sarah and Olga and Patricia?
Yes.
To start the Sabbath. And then Madame Blanc is like, hey now. And then she like fucks her up.
Yeah.
And then
she kills Madame Blanc's mother.
And then Susie emerges as it's like Madame Suspiria.
Suspirial.
Something, a version. And then like peacefully kills them.
Yes.
To like end their suffering, essentially.
Yes. Yeah. And it's really about this sense of control and power. You know what I mean? Like that's one of the themes that I found is like what happens to, you know what I mean, even within a nation when you use your power against your own people in a negative way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not so much like a good sense. Like I wouldn't say power, not in the sense of like good and evil, but it's like abuse.
Exactly. And that was one of the main themes of like, and controversies too of this film, or critics had a lot to say about that specific theme of the abuse of power, because some critics felt like it was painting the picture that when a group of women are together and they're powerful, they're the only thing that they're trying to achieve is something evil or something for their own gain, that it
which
can't
is like a
be
historical
good.
Kind of narrative about women and
right.
You know what I mean, their power, witchhood, like
right. A like group, a collective
a
power
coven of women. It's always right. like evil.
Right. Right.
And it's very interesting. There were very few men in this movie. I think maybe three at most.
Maybe.
The doctor. And then like two investigators. And I think that's
right.
it. So there's not a lot of men. So it's truly focused on like the women in this film and the their interconnectedness. They're like, what's their relationship like?
Yeah.
But I thought I didn't see it so much of like, I can see the critics like issue as far as like, you're painting women in this negative light. But I saw it more of just like, when you remove gender in a sense, like how do women, when you remove this kind of this power struggle, because like I was feeling like, you know, a lot of times like we frame the image of women are with men in the room.
Yes.
And
right.
So when you remove men and you just have powerful women.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I didn't see Susie's character so much as like, well, you know what I mean? Women went with power, absolute power, evil. I saw a balance, and it was like, it was that the ending of the film when she's killing them softly was this like restorative kind of balance of like, this power is not yours, is not mine. It's, you know what I mean? It's the coven, you know what I mean? So when you use it, for your own gain, that's not what this power is
and
for.
You're ridding the coven of that energy.
Right.
And also calling out the fact that it's like, you know, these young women trust you completely.
Yeah.
Their life is in your hands and you're just fucking with them.
Yeah.
And you're abusing them. Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was interesting. But yeah, that was a critique I had read about that. If I may talk about the lighting.
You may.
Thank you. I think that lighting has, I don't think people appreciate this enough about film. Like how, I mean, we talk about score, we talk about performance, but we don't talk about lighting a lot. And lighting can do so much for a film.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that when you're playing with light versus darkness, it's a balance. And when a film is so dark like that, I think it loses what it's trying to accomplish because the whole film is just dark as hell. And I literally think I wasn't scared at some parts because I couldn't fucking see. And I know that not being able to see, taking away a sense, taking away one of your senses causes fear. But I think that when it's done so consistently, like it was too much, I think. I think they could have gotten the point across a little bit better had they had a little bit more light in some areas and then taken it away.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think it was one issue is like this political background that's happening.
Yeah.
Which I didn't think was personally necessary.
No.
I can't remember if the original film really touched on that as much. But it was this, you know, I mean, you're in Berlin during the German autumn. I mean, it's like depressing, it's cold, you have these oppressed people. And so I think
there's like terrorism.
Yeah. So you have that happening on the outside, oppression, abuse, and power by a larger government. And especially when you look at like how, you know, I mean, that government system was like kind of run. It was this really oppressive, almost like father figure.
Oh yeah, yeah.
As like the government is your, you know, your family. We know best for you.
For you.
And then you have that same reflection in the coven. And so, like, I can see why he made it so dark. But the original film, you talked about, like, the Technicolor. I think it was a bit of the time. I mean, you're in the 70s. Like, experimenting with, like, psychedelic, like, bright.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, like, not the first, but it's, like, art house. Like, that's that.
Yes.
That
house.
Vibe. House is that vibe. And so I think.
Yeah.
I think that's his.
Yeah.
I think it was Luca G's interpretation.
We love Luca G.
Luca G interpretation.
Yeah.
But I do feel, like, a little bit more lightness, a little bit more brightness.
Yeah.
Like, it was very cool tones, and it was just that pop of red, which that's the only reason why I'm, like, as dark as it was, that's why I love it. Like, the dance scene, the dance scenes are probably my favorite parts of the film.
Yeah, they're cool.
Gorgeous film scenes. And like the scene that you hated where you stopped when she was like literally being tortured and dancing. I thought that was my favorite scene. I thought that was gorgeous.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's fucking weird, man.
I love this movie.
how Susie was dancing was really cool.
But I love the fact that like it's this reflection of like her power. Her power, like she's moving and the breaking of the body and the bones at the same time. I just remember watching my breath being taken away because I'm just like, this is so intense.
Oh my God.
Those scenes were like probably not scary. And that's the thing. This movie isn't scary at all. It's not scary. It's disturbing.
Yeah.
And it's eerie. And it's not disturbing in the sense of I think there's some blood and there's some guts and there's some gore, but it's disturbing more in the sense of just like, it just messes with your mind. It messes with your senses. I think the lack of, you know, I mean, of color, the lack of light is disturbing. I think the way the body was moving was disturbing. Even the dance forms, like it was very much interpretive dance. Yeah. And the way that they would like move and break the body and then to reflect that in the actual breaking body is just disturbing to me.
Well, it is disturbing. And some people, I mean, I know why you like it. It's not, that's not like a lost concept on me or anything.
Okay, because I wasn't sure if you're cool enough.
But also, I mean, but those types of films sometimes, like, are trying to make the audience uncomfortable.
Yeah, rightfully so.
Rightfully so. And that's fine. That's the style. But that's what it is. Like, with The Darkness, I'm uncomfortable because I'm like, I can't fucking see anything. But it's like, sit here and take it, is what the movie is saying. I had a thought. Oh, okay. So going to that scene, let's talk about that scene really quick. So before we see Olga like storm out, right? Yes. She looks weathered, right? Yeah. She looks a lot older than, like, these are supposed to be young women.
Yeah.
She has wrinkles in her face. And I'm not saying that she's not an attractive person or that she's ugly or anything, but I don't know if that was part of it because she looked like in her 60s, like her face was really wrinkled. It was really weathered. And then you look around at the other women, and I know in that industry of dance, you're thin. You probably have some very unhealthy habits to keep you that way. That's part of the pressure of being kind of in that company. But I mean, they all looked gaunt, ill. And part of that is the lighting, yes. Right? But I'm looking
and
at
like
these,
the political kind of environment.
Right. And there's probably not enough food on the table. Yeah, you know, there's probably all of that. But I just thought that was really interesting. But her especially, I was like,
well, and I think it's because old. Of her position. And another theme that I really, one theme that the movie talks about a lot is like the concept of like motherhood.
Yeah.
And like, you
we
know,
we love that theme.
Yeah.
We really do.
Mama.
We love it.
Shout outs to Cheryl. Happy birthday, Cheryl.
Oh my gosh, it's her birthday on Sunday. Happy birthday, Cheryl. I'm going home. I'm so excited.
Madame Blanc is like the mother of the house.
Yeah, yeah.
And not so much in like in the sense of like she is the supreme with all the power that's about to be, you know what I mean?
She's motherly.
She's motherly.
She cares about them.
And like, you know, this concept of like mothers aren't supposed to have favorites. And you can see, like, again, attaching, like, abusive power.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, Olga is clear that Olga is being groomed to absorb this power.
Right.
But she's not ready for it.
Yeah.
And I think it's...
She doesn't want it.
She doesn't want it. She's not ready for it. They're trying to beat it into her. And it's clear that Susie is. And so I think that weatheredness is not only just, like, you have this mother relationship of, like... If you think about it, like this mother who's like, you're going to be the best. This is your purpose. This is your job. And you have this
mommy dearest mother.
Yes. For real. And you have this daughter who's like, no, this isn't for me. I'm not. Yeah. You know what I mean? Maybe I do. Maybe I don't.
Right.
And you have this breaking of the body. And then you have this actual spiritual kind of breaking of her spirit, of her physical body. And then you have Susie, who is clearly the favorite, who clearly is prepared
the protege.
She's clearly prepared for this role. Clearly prepared for absorbing this power, and come to find out she's actually made for this power,
right?
And it's clear that like Madame Blanc, they have this connection, they have this relationship, and she is a favorite of the company.
Oh, absolutely.
Or in a dance company is, you know what I mean, when you have the, I can't remember, the prima ballerina, the solo principal,
prima ballerina,
you know what I mean? It is very clear, like, who is the favorite in this. But when you have coven that's supposed to be equality across, and you know what I mean?
Well, right. And also, it's like, they want Olga to blindly commit to this.
Yes.
Say yes, say yes, say yes.
And Olga's like, oh,
and she's like, what did you do with Patricia? I know something's up. The game is afoot. Like, all of those things. And then, even though we don't know at the time that Susie is, like, destined for this, she's like, I'll do it. Like, she's like, I'm in.
And Susie is just so blind, and you mean like throughout the whole movie, she doesn't question anything. There's these scenes where there's these gorgeous scenes where they're like out at dinner or they're out on the town, and you see. Did you get to that part where they're like, okay, so there's scenes where they go to dinner and it's all the witches at dinner.
Witches.
And they're like sitting down, they're eating and they're cackling. And it's this kind of like wild, like at first it's like, girls night out. They're like, and then it's like this, like these crazy
laughs.
And it's just like, what the hell? And you just see Susie and she's just calm. And she's just looking across the table at Madame Mother Blanc. Or she's looking at the table at Olga, or it's another woman. And she's just like, you can tell something about this girl.
Yeah.
Either above the rest or off.
Yeah.
And it's just beautiful. Like I said in the beginning, or I don't know about the beginning. Like there's so many scenes where there isn't so much dialogue, but it's a look or it's a movement.
Yes.
Or it's interaction.
They use physical space really well, I think, in this movie when it comes to that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do want to just jump back to the political backdrop. So kind of what they were talking about when they showed like the images on the street, it was giving me very much like V for Vendetta vibes, like that kind of stuff. But there were things more than that. They used like big national stories that actually happened, like the hijacking of that Lufthansa flight.
Yeah.
And so, but it's like, so I think I have a theory. I think that while some critics thought that perhaps that was like unnecessary, I think that it also kind of forces the audience and forces the girls to think, I'm safer here than I am outside.
Oh, yeah. It was very clear.
Yeah. That it's like, you know what? Like, even though there might be an issue with Patricia or something, like all that other stuff going on outside, there was just a bomb. But like, it could have just been about the political things, but they kept bringing in more tragic real life events that didn't really have anything to do with that. And to kind of be like, no, we're going to keep you here and we're going to keep you safe.
Right. And it feeds back into this motherhood thing. Yeah. Like as mothers of the house of the older women, like we are here to protect you. We are here to keep you safe. And it's like, well, shit, Patricia could have just ran on the street and died. I mean, like,
so possibly.
Yeah. So it's for some of the girls, it's just
uncutted.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
For some of the girls, it's just like, it's not safe out here. I have a roof over my head. I have a place where I feel empowered.
Yep.
I feel seen in a time period where women probably didn't have any rights.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or less rights.
Right.
And so in this coven, with this power, true, you know what I mean? Not only just like physical, I'm a dancer power, but like I'm a powerful witch.
Right.
Why would you?
And also, I'm lucky to be here because it's competitive.
Yeah.
And also, they talk a lot about the need for women to have fiscal autonomy.
Yes.
And that's what they kind of tell her in the beginning when Susie's like accepted is like, you know, you don't have to pay for anything. And she's like shocked, like, oh my gosh, I don't have to pay for anything. And they're like really stressing the importance of like female independence, especially when it comes to money and all of those things to make them feel even more empowered and, you know, ultimately trying to gain their loyalty as well.
Yeah.
In a kind of underhanded way. But yeah, it was interesting.
What for you, if you could like talk to Luca G.
Yeah.
And be like, yo, Luca, do these things and I'll finish the movie for you. What would change it for you?
The thing is, like, I am fully into, like, you know, different people like different movies. Like, just because I don't like it doesn't mean it's not
good.
You're
like, I'm fully into the fact that you're weird as fuck.
I'm fully into the fact that you've been grooming me to kill me this whole time. I think that I would like to see some different lighting.
Okay.
I think that they could use different physical locations for different different lighting for different physical locations.
Yeah.
That to me would bring about kind of a different layer. It was kind of gross, honestly. Oh. The grotesqueness, but that's part of it. Like I don't think you can take that away. But here's what I'll give like two actual real critiques other than like it was icky. The lighting
it was icky.
And it wasn't a tight movie.
Ooh. There we go.
2.5 hours is too fucking long.
For like a movie that.
For in a movie like that, it could have been 1 hour 45, tight, tight, tight. And I feel like the urgency and that tightness could have contributed a lot more to how fucked up it was.
Yeah.
But I felt like at this, I'm like, get to it.
I would agree. Even though this is a good a movie that I really enjoy, it yeah. could, like you said, it could have been very tight. There were some scenes in the movie where, or some characters where I'm like, why are you in here? Like the doctor.
Yeah. Like what? Exactly.
Didn't,
yeah.
didn't need to be necessary.
Totally.
Mother Marco.
Who's also played by Tilda Swinton.
Yeah.
Didn't we don't really even
understand why she's in there. There were so many yeah. scenes where I'm just like, you could have condensed it. You could have kept it tight. You could have kept it a little bit more psychotic, like
yeah.
a little bit more paranoia.
Yeah.
And I felt like if it was a little bit faster and almost felt like a short kind of art film than this, like
mm-hmm.
fully realized. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought it could have been a lot better.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
like, in essence, like I love the concept of like, you know, I mean, I love movies that are surrounded in the supernatural
mm-hmm.
based in like true real gritty real life.
Yeah, yeah.
I now that you talked about like the political background and like how it kept the women feeling like we're safe here,
mm-hmm.
I thought it could be kept. I think that's an element that
yeah
could have been you know yeah. kept in our new our new movie.
Yes.
But yeah. yeah, I just felt like the movie could have been condensed down, really shortened, really tight.
Yeah.
I think it could have been bit better, but I really still enjoy it.
Well, and that's good. I mean, we all have movies that we know are like, you know, function or like mechanically not sound,
yeah,
but we like them anyway.
Yeah.
But also Luke, I think it was Luca G that said like this was a box office disaster, like literally said that, and then there was talk of a sequel,
which I'm like, oh my gosh.
And he was like, no, that he said it would be impossible.
What?
Because it didn't do well.
Yeah. That's very true.
Which honestly, after a 2.5 hour movie, what else is there to say?
But there's like, again, there's a trilogy. So there's these other witches.
I know, but trilogies that do like, I mean, I can't imagine 3 2.5 hour versions yeah. of that. That would be tough.
Have you watched, here's a good question. Okay. Have you watched Jennifer Lawrence, Mother by her husband?
Darren Aronofsky. Yeah. They're not together anymore.
Oh, I don't.
She's married to somebody else. But anyway.
Have you watched that one?
I haven't, but I'd like to.
We should do that one too.
It's Javier Bardem, yeah, right?
It's a terrible movie.
Oh, is it bad?
I hate the movie.
I'd like to do Midsommar.
Talking about like grotesque. No, you can't do Midsommar.
Is it gross?
Midsommar is way grosser than this.
Oh, I shouldn't. Oh, I was looking forward to watching it. I'm not going to watch it now.
Yeah. Is I don't it know about way more grosser, but there's some scenes where I was disturbed.
Okay, then I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah.
If you were disturbed, then I would like lose sleep over it.
There's only one more movie that I can think of that had me. There's only one movie where I considered walking out because
what?
I was so disturbed. It was, this is going to be kind of shocking for you, I think. It was It, too.
Oh, fuck that. I'd never watch that.
Why?
Cause I'm scared. I'm a little chicken oh, shit about that.
It was really. It's within the first 10 minutes. I was like, I'm gonna.
Oh, I heard about that.
Yeah.
That it was like so gross.
Yeah.
But the thing is, that was cast so fucking well.
Yeah.
And like, it was so cool to see. I didn't watch the first one either. I'm just not one of those people that can like separate that
from real life.
Well, I just.
There's a clown in here.
Like, it takes me a really long time to get over that stuff.
Oh,
you know what
God.
I mean?
No.
When a movie sticks with you.
Scary movies, I can just like go to bed.
Oh, that's not really my life. I'm too much of an anxious person to let it go.
Do you think this movie was cast well?
Oh, I do. I mean, I thought Tilda Swinton was great. I mean, it was really the three main actresses that I knew were her and Dakota Johnson and Chloe Grace Moretz. But
yeah, I thought all the actresses were really great. I think yeah. Tilda Swinton is good at playing this mysterious, like,
oh yeah,
otherworldly being.
Yeah,
that's why you cast her if you want someone who is like genderless, yeah. you know, otherworldly, angelic, yeah. demonic.
Yeah.
So she's always really great.
But she can either be as cold as ice.
Oh my God.
But she can be really warm too.
Yeah. There, and that's the
soft
good thing.
Soft warmness.
Yeah, she has. Yeah. Like, there were scenes where she would touch her. That's why she's such a fucking good actress. There were scenes where she touched her, and you were just like, you could feel.
Yeah.
And again, it goes back to like, it was so much more than just like what the dialogue was, but it was about like a right. scene or a touch. It was a feel. It was a movement. So
right.
That's why I love this movie. It was very artsy.
Yeah, it is very artsy for sure.
Anyway, we should probably discuss about our next.
We page. Know what we're doing.
What is it?
We're doing Promising Young Women.
Oh, yeah.
That's
right.
It's on Amazon.
Prime?
Yes, I believe it is because I was searching for it today. Or I was searching for something else and that popped up. It's probably not $20 to rent anymore. But this is kind of the first time where we like have solidified, like, oh my God, yes, we're gonna do this.
Promising Young
Woman. We're so excited
about
it. My
roommate watched it with his brother and they adored it.
Adored it.
Incredible.
It has Bo Burnham in it too, who I love. He's a comedian. He did the movie Eighth Grade. But Carey Mulligan is a gem of gems.
Yeah, I'm excited. I haven't seen her in anything else and I can't remember, so I'm excited.
Oh my God. Have you seen Never Let Me Go?
No.
Give that a, if you're in the mood
give
to
that
like
a spin.
If you're in the mood to cry,
you know I'm not.
Let it out. I know. You know I always am, so
it's not my scene.
But here's the thing. Even though I didn't like this film and it like disturbed me, I'm still glad that we do stuff like this because we know we have different tastes in genres anyway, but I think it's still super interesting to talk about. So
Yeah. And I think there's tons of movies where I think some of the best movies are like these really weird indie films that are like bizarro, that give women a chance to play characters they never will. And it's sad.
Oh, yeah.
Because like,
that's a good way.
You know what I mean? Yeah, most men get to play anything they want. And the only time as a society or a culture, we can look at a woman and be like, you can be anything you want is when she's a fucking witch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, true.
Like supernatural being. Right. So like, it's good to watch these movies because it gives women a chance to like be something incredible. So
yeah.
Thank you everyone for listening to this random episode.
It was kind of fun. And go watch Promising Young Women so you know what we're going to talk about next week.
So you can join in the conversation.
Yes. We're so excited. We thank you.
And bless.
Blessings. Bless. Bless up.
Bless.
Blessings.
Oh my God, that was weird.
Who says bless up?
Bless up.
DJ Khaled.
Bless up.
Fuck that guy, honestly.
Goodbye.
Bye. Hi, this is Aaron.
And this is Colin.
And you've been listening to
Let's Hear It for the Girls.
It's always a great time at Speak Studios in Boise, Idaho, and we hope you enjoy learning about the girls.
Now listen, you better like, subscribe, and review us on all major platforms. We'll see you next time.
And thanks for listening. Thank you.